When I was a student, I had the privilege of studying Talmud with David Weiss HaLibni. And as often happens when you study with great teachers, the best lessons take place outside the classroom. And I remember once I was talking to Professor HaLibni about his own history. He had been in Auschwitz as a child and was known even before he went there as a child as an Ilui, as a genius. When Elie Wiesel visited the synagogue, he told me that he remembered that everyone knew David Weiss as a 10-year-old already as being a prodigy of Talmud. He was famous even before the Second World War. And after the war, since he survived Auschwitz, they brought him to New York. And he told me he was a young, emaciated teenager who was in this strange city and this strange country where he had this intuition nobody really knew what they knew in Europe. And so he wasn't willing to eat the food that they told him he could eat or to be part of the community because he didn't know if the community or the food or the study was kosher. He was just scared and alone. And so they summoned Shaul Lieberman, who was probably the greatest Talmudist of the 20th century. If not, he's on everybody's short list, because they figured we got to impress this kid, and we have to impress him with somebody formidable so that he will feel comfortable and he'll know that he hasn't landed in the middle of nowhere. So they brought Lieberman, and I remember HaLibni saying to me, look, Lieberman was always impressive, but he was trying to impress me. So he was remarkable. Everything I said that I had studied, he knew better than I did. And I'd never met anyone like that in my entire life. And we talked for hours, and it made me feel at home again. But what struck me about Lieberman more than anything else, he said, was in the course of talking, I mentioned a Tosfot. Now, Tosfot are the commentaries on the Gemara. The Gemara, the Talmud, a formidable mind like Lieberman, blessed with an extraordinary memory, you can remember all the Talmud. People can remember much of the Tosfot, but they're the things in the little print intricately commenting on the Talmud, and it turned out that HaLibni mentioned a point in the Tosfot that Lieberman had forgotten. So afterwards, when they were done talking, and HaLibni felt better again, he saw what Lieberman did. He went back to the volume of Talmud, to the Masechet, where the Tosfot was contained, and he started studying it again from the first page. He said, that's how I knew that Lieberman had become such a great scholar, because if he forgot even a little point, he wanted to remind himself of everything, because it so upset him that he forgot anything. And it reminds us that if you really care about something, you always have to return to fundamentals. That if you are, for example, a Torah scholar, it doesn't mean you can skip over reading Bereishit. That if you are a great athlete, it doesn't mean that you can skip warming up and sprints. That if you are a great lover of Israel, it doesn't mean that you don't periodically need to be reminded of its fundamental mission. Now, I have the zechut, the merit, and the privilege of speaking to a congregation of great lovers of Israel. So what I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't for a minute think you don't already know. But since I was reminded anew of this truth, of this section of the Tosfot, I thought we would go begin back to the first page and renew our sense not only of Israel's importance as a country in the Middle East, but renew our appreciation for the fact that it has a worldwide mission to the Jewish people. I was scanning the news, looking through the papers, and there it was in the Jerusalem Post. Jews in Ukraine who are stranded, rescued by Israel. And I thought, here it is, a story more than 60 years after the founding of the state that still hasn't ended. When fighting broke out in Donetsk and rebels took the airport and Jews were stranded, most American Jews didn't even know it. But somehow the Jewish agency found out, and Israel first went to Donetsk and secretly got these families a ride to, you should forgive me, Dnepropetrovsk, which is a town I only know from the Tom Lehrer song. And from there, secretly got them a flight to Kiev, and from Kiev, flew them to Jerusalem. And I thought, there it is. I mean, we know this, but if you didn't hear of this instance, you might not realize that this still happens all the time without our even knowing it. And the worldwide mission of Israel is even more complex than that. Because I was reading a story about Ukraine and the Jews of Ukraine in, of all places, the New York Review of Books. Not, by the way, a publication known for its sympathy to the state of Israel. And in it, it told the story of a man named Natan Kazin, who grew up in the Ukraine, made Aliyah, became a rabbi, ordained as a rabbi, and served in the IDF. When the fight broke out in the Ukraine, he went back to the Ukraine as a trained soldier of the IDF and helped train the rebels and led them in several battles, and is still there with, by the way, other former IDF soldiers who grew up in the Ukraine who are also helping the rebel effort. Which means, remarkably enough, that in the Ukraine's battle against Russia, they're being led in part by soldiers trained in the IDF in Israel. And it reminds us how incalculable are the effects of having a Jewish state. And not only for Jews who live in Israel, but worldwide, all the time. You know, part of the scandal that everyone feels in the United States right now about the Veterans Administration is you feel like if somebody serves in the country, in your country's army, that you need to take care of them. And we know that in the Israeli army there is this very powerful ethos of nobody being left on the field of battle. That every soldier has to be taken care of. That everyone has to be brought home. But you realize that the state of Israel was founded on the same principle as applied to all the Jewish people. That is, that no one can be abandoned, that no one can be left on the field of battle, whether the field of battle is in Ethiopia or the Ukraine, that they have to be brought home. That's page one. And even though we know it and we say it, when there's a new example of it, as there was this past week in the Ukraine, it reminds us anew of how fundamental to our own self-image, we who live in Los Angeles, it is to have a place that is that and does that. One of the reasons that this is so important is that so much of the anti-Jewish agitation on our campuses and in our communities is caused by Jews. And it's in part because they don't have a sufficient appreciation of what it was to be a Jew before there was a state of Israel. And the difference that it makes, even to their self-image, as they say things that are damaging to the reputation of their own state. But we need to know. When our own Israel Center sends out bulletins about what's going on, not only in Israel but abroad, for example, the horrendous events in Brussels, anti-Semitism happening anywhere in the world, it does it from the Israel Center because, after all, it is a Jewish concern, but it also implicates Israel, since Israel is the worldwide homeland. And I can tell you, and again, you know this, but I will tell you nonetheless, even though I'm not happy to, that given the situation in Europe, you will see this more over the years to come. Because right now in Europe, I think it is fair to say that in many countries, there is no escape anywhere across the political spectrum. With the resurgence of anti-Semitism on the right, which is what's happening in Europe, with the already existing anti-Semitism on the left, which has happened in Europe, where is there that a Jew can feel safe? So don't be surprised, as things heat up around the world, if you see more stories like this in the Israeli press, even though I didn't see any coverage of it in the press in our own country. But we need to know, and we need to repeat the story, and tell the story, and publicize the story, because, after all, if you want people to appreciate the fact that there is a worldwide ambulance service for Jews who are in states of emergency, then you have to let them know that they have to defend that place, support it, so that they can continue to send out these rescue vehicles, these secret flights, these covert missions to save Jews when they're in trouble anywhere in the world. I am not, I think, an alarmist. I certainly don't expect that there is going to be anything like the terrible tragedies we saw in the 20th century, but will there be terrible outbursts of anti-Semitic activity, of danger, and just of war? Yes. There will. We know this. The best guide to what could be is what has been. And throughout Europe and throughout the Middle East, there will be the necessity of rescue and of bringing Jews home, just as we in the United States have brought Jews here in times of danger and trial and continue to do so. But every now and then, it is worth being reminded of fundamentals. This is Parshat Naso. And as our bat mitzvah so beautifully reminded us this morning, it means to raise up. That is, to lift one another. And we think of this usually as a spiritual uplift. But sometimes you need physically to pick people up from where they are when it is not safe and transport them to where they will be safe and cared for and loved. That's exactly what happened after the war to David Weiss HaLivni, and why he met Professor Lieberman, with whom, by the way, he studied for the next 20 years, with whom he got his PhD, and who launched him on his own career as a Talmudist. I don't know what will happen to the families who were airlifted this week back to Israel. Maybe, like some of their compatriots, They'll be trained by Israel, become citizens, and go back to help in the Ukraine. Maybe they will stay in Israel, and their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will barely remember where they came from, only where they came to. But the one thing that I do know is what their fate would have been were there no Israel to rescue them. We realize here in the American Jewish community, we're good, but we're no Israel. We weren't there. We didn't get them. We didn't take them from Donetsk, and we didn't bring them home. But we can help and support and applaud the place that did. Every now and then, it's good to be reminded of fundamentals. Thank God we are lucky enough to live in that rare and blessed age when there is a state of Israel. Shabbat shalom.